The Black Pearl Anthology proudly presents Sunshine Hollow. Within the valley of Sunshine Hollow, the fairies had existed in peace and harmony for thousands of years. The days twinkled with sunshine and music they sang and created spontaneously. The nights shone with the celebration and joy of another day to come. The Sunshine Hollow fairies danced upon the wind every single day, their wings fitting upon their backs as they gathered materials to expand their village, hoarding treasures they found along the river that ran through the valley, and spied upon the humans that lived on the outskirts of the hollow. With each fairy of Sunshine Hollow came a kaleidoscopic blend of their culture, which combined unique elements into an individual that elevated the hollow and all that live there. Within the 3,713th generation of the Sunshine Hollow fairies, however, came the most curious and surprising of fairies, a feral fairy named Reffy. Feral fairies were the rarest of their kind, often existing quite separate from the whole of the hollow. They grew wild with the woods, and mysterious as the motes of dust in sunlight. Into each generation, a single feral fairy had been born since the very first generation had popped forth from the dewdrops into the awaiting arms of the fairy folk that had come into this world from the shining lands away. Such had been the way Reffy had been born, from the odd-shaped dewdrop of a lilac. Reffy had been rambunctious and unexpected. Reffy loved the mud and mess of the world, tumbling through puddles and the snowy hillsides of the hollow. As is the tradition of the fairies, on the 20th spring of Reffy's life, the selection of wings drew interesting smiles as Reffy picked 4 oversized, old, burnt oak leaves. The joining went seamlessly, and all at once Reffy took to the air with a speed and ease, while all of Reffy's siblings stumbled slowly to understand how to defy gravity. Now winged, Reffy found marvels that exceeded the imaginings of a fairy who already knew more of the world than the rest. The tops of trees and the world above the valley made Reffy gasp with possibilities, but also with a dire sight. For black smoke approached the valley, and a sense of impending doom filled the dark spaces of Reffy's heart. Reffy did not know what it meant, and so carried a message of warning to the fairies within the hollow. The black snake of smoke was sung about. The elders told Reffy to investigate in words that rhymed, and the entire hollow waved at Reffy while the song finally faded. Traversing the forest, Reffy's burnt orange wings dug into the sweet air of the afternoon and launched Reffy through the boughs and branches of the trees. Reffy's abilities in the air drew gasps from the fairies of the forest and caused the wildlife of the woods to stop and stare. The joy that overtook every atom of Reffy while flying disappeared with the sudden stark appearance of a gray yard full of equipment and machinery and smoke erupting from obnoxious stacks. Reffy landed amongst the needles of a pine tree and observed the goings-on of this strange village unlike anything any fairy had seen within the hollow. Stories of men had been sung by the fairies for as long as any of them could remember, and Reffy had taken all of them in as abundantly as sweet nectar. This reality provided none of the sweetness of the tales told, however. Instead, it was all stumbling behemoths and brassy sharp noises from their mouths. From a hole in the ground they emerged, several times bringing with them dull chunks of black earth, adding them to piles and piles of the same rock. Over the course of time, the pile was placed within a rough shape that moved them away. The elders called these trucks, Reffy thought. It was tough to remember all of the details. All of the songs were so very lovely, and sometimes there were things that slipped from Reffy's memory. But it was of no concern. Where they all went, only Reffy could guess. Reffy utilized the nightfall as an opportunity to explore the mysterious village. The entirety of this abandoned landscape reeked of hardship and destruction. Reffy felt tears nearly escaping in every moment and around every sharp corner. Finally, gathering the courage, Reffy went into the tunnel all men had emerged from a short time before. The smell was overwhelming. The minerals of the tunnel made Reffy's face hard and stained, but for every flap of autumn wings, Reffy's heart hurt more. This tunnel was made of nothing but poison. The darkness of it resonated with the darkness that grew within Reffy. The epiphany of its path was the final toxin that turned within Reffy that night. This tunnel ran within mere flaps of the river, close enough to the hollow that it would destroy their lives if it crept any closer. Reffy imagined this rock, this dust getting into the water of the hollow, and it began to erode Reffy. She knew any that touched it or tasted it would surely die. Within Reffy, it all went black. The poisonous stones of that tunnel seeping into the mind and heart of our little fairy. Reffy couldn't remember returning to the village. Arriving back at the village square, panting for air, Reffy tried to warn the village, but to no avail. The fairy folk had never known any danger, and so to tell them of such a thing introduced a concept so foreign that it slid straight off into nothingness. Reffy gasped for air as the tears cut clear paths through the black smudges of coal dust that had turned the wild-eyed Reffy into a war-painted prophet of an oncoming, abominable end. So, as the fairies finished the day once more with another song to sweeten the air, Reffy sat alone and wondered how to save the hollow fairies. Reffy's kin went into their homes, each ending their day until it was merely Reffy. But it was a hand on the shoulder that proved Reffy wasn't alone, in fact. Looking up, Reffy met the eyes of Yafona, one of the four living feral fairies of the village.
Our people have known such a threat before.
Yafona, wild-eyed, the words in whispers within a sunbeam's distance of Reffy's face.
The Hataska, a beast of the forest, once moved amongst us, against us, through our village, but was driven back by one of our own, one of us, a feral fairy named Goroban. Goroban found a way to drive the Hataska back into the pits of imprisonment. In the morning light, you and I shall fly to the prison of the Hataska. There we shall find Goraban and the Hataska, and perhaps an answer to the impending doom we face.
Refi parted from Yafona, going to wash clean of the soot of humanity stained and finding restless slumber in the forests of dreams. Refi once more entered the tunnel, this time walking, having entered it the same size as the men that worked within. Refi saw the sooty stones that made up the wall, but this time felt there was something else there, something that lingered in the space unseen, and so Refi reached into a shadow and felt something fall into the palm of the hand that closed. And then Refi awoke with a startle. The new day brought with it sunlight that felt somewhat different. A storm coming from the north, the promise of frost and fresh air.
Refi left without preparing for the possibility of weather, flying with a speed that drove the storm into Refi's face, tears left in the wake of an unrelenting crimson leaves. Somewhere, Yafona called into the coming storm for Refi, knowing not that Refi landed in a swirl of soft snow in the entrance of a cave.
It had called to Refi.
It had summoned Refi.
A cord had been connected between the cave
and the little feral fairy
in the land of dreams.
A cave Refi should not know but did stood before, taking steps that were precarious but safe, steps Refi knew would not cause injury. Refi knew the cave but couldn't. The depths, the curves, the sharp outcroppings, Refi walked amidst cold and dark, knowing where to go, yet not knowing how. Blind, and yet every detail painted perfectly in neon shades of pastel within Refi's mind. Suddenly, a corner was turned, and before Refi stood a table that took breath and heat straight out of the littlest feral fairy. It stood in a pillar of pure light, which poured forth from an annulment in the cave ceiling. The light was pure and shone more abundant due to the snow that had gathered upon the floor. Before Refi stood a unique scene. At one end, a fairy sat upon a pedestal.
Across from a grand form.
A triangular-shaped thing, with a wide head, all covered in fur and fangs, claws and curving monstrosity. Between both stood a table, and upon the table stood a simple stand,
with a single black bead upon it.
The scene was simple enough to read. Both the fairy and the ferocious thing were reaching for the bead, but their faces told stories of anger or fear, or even perhaps both. Blinking moved Refi from standing a distance off to standing on the table. Refi had no clue about how the distance had been covered. Parts of this all seemed unconscious, yet there had been no loss of time. It was all just happening. As it had to, as it had before, as it would when it needed to, whenever it needed to, again. So Refi reached out, a quivering hand laying one calloused finger upon the light-absorbing orb, and within that connection came an audience,
with a royal fairy Refi did not recognize.
"Well, hello," chirped the royal, an agreeable puff of sunshine. "We have awaited your arrival for quite some time, Refi."
You have?"
Refi had never been expected, and so instantly the situation was altogether off-putting.
"Why, yes." Whimsical laughter adorned the space amidst them, a space that didn't seem any bigger than Refi and the royal. "Your time has come. When Goroban, the Hataska, failed, Refi, the Hataska, shall emerge to save the Hollow from the horrors of the peoples who seek to do it harm."
"But what do you mean, Goroban failed?"
Refi turned to discover a smooth wall enclosing them both in claustrophobic proximity.
"Simple, silly."
The royal approached Refi and grabbed both of Refi's shoulders.
"Goroban became the Hataska, but chose not to use it to fend off all that would do the Hollow harm. Goroban grew colder and stronger until they could control the change, only transforming when they were in this very cave. But you, dear Refi, you see what it is to become what your Hollow will become. So you shall take up the power of it and do what Goroban could not.
All you need do."
The royal grabbed Refi's chin and turned it up as the final words coiled and constricted around Refi's mind.
"Is take from them what they were unable to use."
Refi saw Goroban and Hataska lurking above, larger than those who walked into the spoiled earth and stole the dirty gems. Refi was within the tiny black bead, feeling the fingers of the two massive figures drawing closer to the smooth sphere, the fingers that would connect them. Refi could feel the two offering power once unknown, now all the more necessary. It's a damned thing. The moment you realize you may step into the void in an effort to save those you care for. Refi didn't step, but instead reached, touching the cold curve of the spear all at once, feeling both. Goroban and Hataska falling effortlessly into the sphere, the instantaneous lightning rush of power forcing Refi's eyes closed. When they opened once more, Refi was outside the small stone, the single finger still touching it, but the stone was gone. Like snow in a monsoon, Goroban, Hataska, the table, and all began to melt and mist around Refi. The prickling heat rode up Refi's arms, into the shoulders and chest, down to toes and up through throat to the very peak of the cute little head of our feral fairy. The scream sat comfortable in Refi's chest, waiting for 2, 3, 4 breaths, and then burst forth, as did the quills from Refi's forearm.
The fairies of Sunshine Hollow huddled in the Hall of Sunlight as they cried amidst the sounds of the nearing construction. "We must abandon the village," cried one fairy.
"We must fight against those who take our lands,"
another screamed, shaking his fist at the council.
"No."
Queen Cortana held up both hands as the room went silent, the only sound coming from the rumbling machinery outside.
"We have awaited Refi for 4 months. Yafona spoke of the power beyond the Hollow, but it was to no avail. So we shall find our way, fellow fairies, and shall conquer the day the only way we know how. We shall sing and strike against those who stand to destroy our way of life. The room swelled with a roar followed by every fairy harmonizing to find their key. Starshine Hollow, the queen belted out the name, finding syllables that didn't exist, finding strength in the arms that flung the doors wide open. Follow me, we go into battle in perfect harmony.
The words were lost. The sound leaked out of the corner of the queen's mouth. There was nothing save the sounds of destruction and men screaming. Fairy folk stood in complete horror as the brown quilled monster pushed what could only be described as a fist through the human backhoe, turning it nearly inside out. If they could hear Refi within the horrifying construct, they would know that they screamed and bore their teeth. Their eyes were shot with blood and streaked with undulating things that had wormed their way into every facet of Refi's form. They felt the blood plunge through their arteries with fiery determination, tearing men asunder, blood flying everywhere, fire exploding from every direction, trees falling over, only to be used to bludgeon others into submission and paste. Driven double time by Refi's own addiction to the elimination of these thieving, murdering, strip-mining little viruses, their cries translated to the grotesque, prickly form as it hit something else, smashing another thing, breaking something, grabbing one of the beings who tried to flee, and doing something exceedingly messy to the vermin as it made all manners of grotesque sounds. The fairy folk moved not an inch. How could they? Moments ago they had decided to do something so heretical to their nature that it alone had needed the most violent song they had ever intoned. But what they saw before them was beyond comparison. The valley had never known violence or damage or anything frightening save the occasional wolf. Today saw slaughter, trees enveloped in flame. The forest itself crying out in pain, only drowned out by the sound of men begging for mercy. Amidst all of it, they bore witness to a monster of their own making. Yafona pushed through the crowd, the one good eye filling with tears as the words, "It's Refi," doubled through a sputtering break in character. The two words slid in whispers through the crowd until they made it to the queen. Once the words brought understanding, the queen dove into the ember-filled skies, pitching through the burning night with orange glow that made each layer of her raiment into phoenix feathers. Her people watched, her path almost effortless. Almost. Refi, Itasca, caught the queen, curving its arm until its fist sunk into the chest of the great and gore-littered beast. The queen stood in a sinuous cathedral of gore, amidst the body of the thing that did not stop, had continued its march towards the tunnels the greedy little vermin had built into the ridge above the valley.
"What have you wrought?"
the queen yelled in a space with so little echo that it stunned her.
"A peace outside our valley that will never be broken."
Refi spoke conversationally while their mind killed men, mutilated living things, while laying waste to the things that they brought to build.
"How people were going to act?"
The queen stepped closer but found her bare feet grasped and held by the sinews that came out of the ground, made of the selfsame material.
No more songs,
Reffy said without a moment of reconsideration.
Only screams.
The Reffy Hataska thing drove its front limbs into the tunnel the little greedy monsters had made. It felt for the soot-making stone and found it easily. There was so very much of it. All at once it felt something its mind had not known before. How quickly and easily it could ignite these little dirty stones and all of its pieces. Reffy did not hesitate. A mere thought was all it took. Hataska felt it ignite in its arm out of sight, and pushed so much heat into the tunnel that every single one of the rock's dirty, dingy brethren sacrificed itself as well. The fire ignited a vein of coal that ran under 3 counties, 6 towns, and would come to claim lives and displace thousands. The only thing it wouldn't do was stop burning. It would burn for years, decades, perhaps a century or two. No one knew. All they knew was that it came to be known as Hellfire Highway. The fairies learned something new in that moment. Lamentations. They invented one not for them, for they and the valley would survive this day and the next, and the seasons past and generations to come. They would utter the lamentations for humans that would never know Sunshine Valley existed, for they were unable to reach it ever again. Reffy and Hataska knew their task was at an end. Reffy tried to argue with Hataska, but what is argument to a monstrosity, an embodiment of your own rage? As the earth-shaking form passed the kingdom of fairies, it removed the queen from its chest and tossed her into the waiting arms of her subjects. Continuing on, Reffy began to beg, but knew there was little power in it. The Hataska sat where it had before, molded a table and a pedestal out of errant fleshy pieces of itself, reached within itself and pulled Reffy out to be placed upon the selfsame pedestal that Goroban had resided on. It also placed the pearl back between them, all of it taking the soot-colored complexion it had had when Reffy arrived not 4 months ago. As the darkness began to cloud the corners of Reffy's vision, panic was met by a song. Something they had learned in one of the strange hard things of gummy circles that night they had wandered amongst them. A voice had declared that there would be no peace in the valley for me someday. Reffy wept within as the realization washed over. This right here was what peace in the valley looked like. Reffy and this thing had been willing to unleash such horror and would be locked away until some fairy was foolish enough to unlock it once more. In the dark, Reffy heard voices singing the song that they had heard that night. A voice singing from the mouth of every host of the Hataska. A choir larger and louder than anything Reffy could imagine. Reffy allowed her voice to join them too, for they had never fit in with the fairies of the valley.
But Revy had found community within, with the fairies of the Black Pearl.